This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guest, toll-free USA, Canada, 888-429-5471. It's an honor to have our guest this evening, Hetty Epstein. Hetty is a 90-year-old woman that has worked her entire life making people aware of the occupation of Palestine. She's a Holocaust survivor herself, sent to England alongside with 10,000 other children in difficult times. She has been on 4 missions of the flotilla to help Gazans. And Heidi, it's a pleasure having you, and welcome to The People Speak.
And I'm glad to be on your whatever you call it, on your service.
Thank you. Hetty, tell us about yourself and tell us why you got involved with, the freedom of Palestine in general and the occupation.
Well, I need to give you a little bit of my background. I was born in Germany, and my parents were anti-Zionists, and they were anxious to get out of Germany during the Nazi regime and willing to go anywhere, do anything just to get out. But one place they were not willing to go to was Palestine because they were anti-Zionists. And so that's the basis of who I am today. And I came to this country, to the United States, in 1948, about the same time that Israel became a state. And I had mixed feelings at that time. On one hand, I was glad that there was a place where those who survived could go to because maybe they couldn't return to where they came from or chose not to return there. But on the other hand, I remembered my parents' anti-Zionism, and I was afraid that somewhere down the road, no good would come of that. What that might be, I couldn't possibly imagine. But I was new in this country, new impressions, new things to learn. So Israel and Palestine were on the back burner of my interests for quite a long time. But I got a wake-up call in 1982 when I learned something about the massacre in the 2 refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila located in Lebanon. And I needed to find out what was this all about and who was responsible for it, who was adversely affected by it. And as I found out more about this, I became increasingly more disturbed. And I said, I really need to also find out what happened between 1948 and 1982 when I paid little or no attention to this part of the world. And as I learned more and understood more, I became increasingly more disturbed about Israel's policies and practices vis-a-vis the Palestinian people. And when I felt I was grounded in the information that I had, I began to speak out and speak out publicly against those policies and practices of the Israeli government. And in 2003, I was in the Israeli-occupied territory for the very first time. I was there 5 times all told. I also made 5 attempts to go to Gaza, 4 of them by boat and 1 by land. I did not succeed in any of those 5 attempts.
The Israeli government wouldn't allow you to go into Gaza?
Well, no. The one on land was in 2010. There were about 1,400 people from all over the world in Egypt, and Egypt would not allow us to go to Gaza. at the behest of the Israeli government and the United States government.
What do you think about Israel? Do you think Israel is an illegal state as far as taking over the lands of the Palestinian people and asking them to steal that land?
Well, what they are doing, you know, the settlements that they're building in the Israeli occupied territory, that is illegal, and not because I say so, but it's been, according to international law, it is illegal to, when you occupy a land, you cannot bring your own people to live there.
Right. So, well, the entire land is occupied, basically from the north to the south, from Lebanon to the bottom of Israel. It's all occupied. It's all Palestinian land.
Right.
Can you explain to us your theory on it? I know you're of European descent originally.
Yes, I was born in Germany, as I mentioned in the beginning.
Right.
And
there's a lot of you know, hearsay out there about the European Jews not being of the seed of the land, but they are. They do follow the religion. What is your perception on that?
Well, you know, some of the European Jews were anti-Zionists going way back in the 1930s. Then after the war was over, you know, some of them, when they survived the Holocaust, some of them did go to Israel and or what became Israel. And they, you know, but what they did is, you know, the Jewish National Fund, I think it's called, they purchased land from Palestinian people. And, you know, so that was the beginning of what is now happening, you know, the appropriation of Palestinian land by the Israelis with no regard to that the Palestinian people have lived there for generations. And they just, you know, they declare Israel declares it as state property, and then they take it away from the Palestinians without any refund, or, you know, there's no, I mean, they just take over the land, and it becomes Israeli land, and they build another settlement and enlarge settlements, all of it on Palestinian land, to the point where if there is going to be a Palestinian state at some point, it'll be minute, and because of the settlements, it really won't be a contiguous state. There'll be little parcels of land here and there. You might want to call them Bantustans. And, you know, how can you have a state when you can't get from one place to the other because there are checkpoints and there are walls?
Yeah. Well, I call those open-air prison camps. So I often question myself, how could a people that were, you know, put through so much turn around and do it to somebody else?
I think the persecutees have become persecutors.
Yes, they're following suit with the people that were persecuting them.
Right. I mean, Hedy, what is the lesson to be learned? What is the lesson to be learned from the Holocaust? You know, is it that you do what's been done to you, you repeat that on another people? I don't. That's not the lesson that I learned from there.
Right, and that's you know, I'm Palestinian myself, and I don't hate anybody. I, you know, my mother has told me, my mother is a couple of years younger than you, Hedy, and hopefully she'll live to see 90. She's told me about when at a time when she was in Jaffa and the Jewish neighbors that were there and we lived amongst one another in peace and harmony until the coming of the Zionists.
Right.
And that's the way it should be. I mean, we're all humans, and we all need to get along.
I mean, what is happening right now? I mean, Netanyahu is really whipping up hatred, and I mean, vicious hatred. And the Israeli population, a large number of the Israeli population at this point, is, you know, feel that what the military is doing in Gaza, they're saying, you know, go ahead, kill the Arabs, kill the Palestinians. You know, I'm horrified.
Yeah, I've seen videos of Israelis sitting on lawn chairs cheering it on. As right. if they have no regard for human life.
And the media, unthinking, just follows the mantra that the Israelis put out, that the American Jewish community puts out. It's dishonest journalism. So I'm glad that you are out there doing your good work.
Yeah, well, we're trying to keep the minds of the public open to reality. A lot of people here in the States have been conditioned to the point of no return. So they think that everything that they hear on the news is God's honest truth.
Yeah,
and we know that's not true. Right. So what do you think is going to go on in Gaza now? Do you think the massacres are going to continue, Hedy?
Yeah, at some point, it has to stop. I mean, it just can't go on. And I just wish the international community would step up and say, it's enough, stop. And if the United States would stop sending millions of dollars every year to Israel and support their military activities, if that would stop, I think that would be one way to end this horrible massacre in Gaza right now.
Well, millions of, I believe that they approved a $5 billion military aid to them.
I mean, the American people should realize that their tax dollars are paying for the destruction of the Palestinian people.
Majority of the American taxpayers don't know why they're even paying tax, let alone know where their money is going. Or they don't even realize that a kosher tax is being put on every product so money can be sent to Israel.
Right.
So that's something that people just don't know and they don't understand. Besides private funding that's going into the Jewish National Fund by the American Jews, that money isn't even equated to the amount of money that Israel gets from the United States.
That's right. You know, last night here in St. Louis, where I live, there was the Jewish Federation had an event, a community event talking about the crisis. And, you know, for them, the crisis is what's happening in Israel and not what's happening in Gaza. And it was just lies after lies after lies that I heard. And there was a question and answer period, and I raised my hand from the very beginning, and I was never called on. And there were even people in the audience who didn't know who I am who were saying, you know, this lady's had her hand up for a long time. Why don't you call on her? And I was not called on. But after the event was over, a number of people came up to me and say, you know, what were you going to say? What was your question? Or did you have any questions? And so I talked one-on-one.
Continue, please.
So I talked one-on-one to them. And some people said, you know, I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with you, but you have a right to your opinion. And I said, that's right. And you have a right to yours. And I called the person who was responsible for calling on me was the president or the director of the Jewish Federation. And I called him today, and I thanked him for not calling on me. I said, because I probably would have been booed out of the building, but I had an opportunity, because he didn't call on me, to talk to people one-on-one. And I had a statement that I brought with me, and I handed it to them. And he said, well, the reason he didn't call on me is because his glasses broke and he couldn't see me. And I said to him, that's a very, very weak excuse that I don't even accept, especially before the meeting started. I went up to him and said, during the question and answer period, please call on me. And I said, right. if you couldn't see me, you could have said, you know, I know you're Hedy Epstein, you want to talk, so please speak up.
Yeah, they tend to get very forgetful at moments, and, you know, they have issues and any excuse they can come up with. My next question to you.
The wonderful thing was three of us together wrote an op-ed piece, which appeared today in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So the timing of that was really good.
Good, good, good. We need to get people like you. We've had Anna Balzer, Miko Peled, all beautiful people that have come together, and they're siding with the Palestinians. Gilad Atzmon. I plan on having him on soon, as soon as he comes to the States. It seems like the Jews in America, majority of them, are just, they know the truth, but they're also trying to derail it themselves. They know the truth they're not from the land, and they know that they're not supposed to be occupying, but they're turning the blind eye and just going along with the agenda. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an agenda that is the same throughout the United States that the Jewish Federation or the Jewish agencies put out, and they follow this mantra without ever thinking, and they just repeat like parrots. They repeat what they hear and believe it. But at the same time, I also sense that there is a change, that they are fearful that their days are numbered. And I see them, almost compare them to a wounded animal that is lashing out, you know, with its last ounce of strength. And I think in some ways that's what's happening in the mainstream Jewish American community.
Right, because with their arrogance, they're just building up a lot of animosity against them, to where people have come to the truth, just not by me speaking in a social area, but by hearing them attack. They get vicious, they get vile when they're attacking. It's not that people want to be godly and they want to believe in their righteous paths and everything else, but when they see the evil speaking and the lies and the way the arrogance and the what I want to call inhumane insensitivity to people dying. It's like they're cheering it on, and it's absolutely awful. If I've seen Jewish people dying, and being slaughtered, I would feel for them the same way I would feel for a Palestinian or a American or any human for that matter. So this is what I don't understand.
Well, you know, they think that. You know, that Israel and the Jewish people are in the right, and the Palestinian people are terrorists, or anyone who supports the Palestinians, they are also terrorists. And it's, you know, they look at Palestinians as the other, and the other is a lesser person than the Jewish people are. And, you know, the Jews and the Palestinians were cousins. We ought to get along. We're one and the same. We're a family.
Right. That reminds me of a statement Menachem Begin was saying, that they are not even human beings. They are animals at best. Right. But he was the animal that was going out with the Haganah and the Stern Gang and massacring people. What is it about this supremacy thing with the European Jewish people? Is it that they are part of the so-called Khazarians, or are they direct descendants or just converts to Judaism? Because we know that... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, good. Go ahead.
We know that there was the DNA is saying that they're more of European descent and really don't have any tie to the bloodline of the Middle East, because of course the Palestinians, Christians and Muslims, are from the seed of Abraham that have converted and either followed Jesus or Muhammad at the time. So can you please give us
but when it really comes down to, we're all human beings, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, we're blood related by blood or by whatever. We're human beings, and we need to learn to respect each other and love each other and get along, because hatred doesn't do anything. Hatred is very destructive, and it's destructive not only of the person or the group that you hate, but it's also very self-destructive. And I don't think Israel is realizing that what they're doing, they're not only trying to destroy the Palestinian people, they're destroying themselves. And their end is I don't know when it's going to happen, but their end, if they continue doing what they're doing, their end is going to come, and the Palestinian people will rise.
And indeed, it'll happen, because, I think what inevitably would happen is a majority of the world will come together to, help the Palestinians. And
Inshallah.
Inshallah. it's a wonderful discussion I'm having with you, Hedy. Tell us what else. How can we support your organization? And are you a member of Jews for Peace or
Jewish Voice for Peace?
Okay.
And here in St. Louis, we have a chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, and then there's also we have a Palestine Solidarity Committee, which is very, very active.
Oh, great. Great. As I said, I've spoken with Miko Pled, and there was also a group that we had here in San Francisco called Cousins, and it was Palestinians and Israelis that got together. I grew up in New York, where all of my friends that I grew up with are Jewish, and we all loved one another. We all respected one another and everything else. But it seems as we get older, all of a sudden, if you say something about Israel, they're attacking you.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to criticize Israel. You can criticize the United States. You can criticize Germany. You can criticize whoever you want to. But don't you dare criticize Israel, because if you do, you're anti-Semitic. And if you're Jewish, you're a self-hating Jew, and you're a traitor, and who knows what else I've been called.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have been saying for a while, with all their money and with all their power within the Jewish community, they haven't been able to stop me. And that's got to be awfully frustrating for them. Because am I? But I keep on doing what I'm doing, and they cannot stop me.
Weren't you attacked at one point?
Yeah, in 2009, I was assaulted.
And were you able to identify the people?
Today, because, no, I don't know who it was. Today, the police never found out. But today, because of this op-ed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which, you know, I co-wrote with two other people, I got many, many phone calls today. And only, and they were all supportive with the exception of two. And those two were very nasty, you know. And one of them, you know, I was cursed out and I just said, I don't appreciate your language, so I'm going to hang up. Goodbye.
Well, be careful out there because I know that Brother Joseph and Tebby of Sweden got attacked also. We don't know who it was, but of course they'll come out with yelling anti-Jewish obscenities before they attack you. These are pretty much done by people within the community to, you know, try to point the finger in the other direction. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, when I was assaulted in 2009, prior to that, I was on a local TV station, and I was talking about the Israeli-Palestinian situation. And I got a phone call right after that from someone in New York, because he identified himself by name and saying he was in New York. And he referred to my what I said when I was on this TV station. And he said, you know, when we're going to come to, and I don't know who we is, but he said, when we are going to come to St. Louis, we'll take care of you. And then shortly after that, you know, I was assaulted. So there was a connection, I'm sure, between those, that phone call and my assault and the assault.
Didn't the Mossad also practice that on Jews that were living amongst Arabs and other countries to make them fearful so they would come to Israel?
Yeah. I mean, they're doing everything they can, you know, to make, especially they're concerned about the young people, because the young people are, you know, because of social media, they're beginning to find out things that don't quite fit what they've been told by their parents. And so they're very concerned. And so they're trying to send them to Israel and pay for all their expenses and show them all the wonderful things about Israel and treat them like their gods and goddesses and hope to convince them that they will remain Jewish, won't marry outside of the Jewish religion, and will support Israel. You know? But they're spending millions of dollars to do this.
Right, right. Wow. So this is why these children come back conditioned. But I've seen a lot of Israelis that, you know, have spoken out against what they're ordered to do.
Right.
As they were soldiers and everything else. And these are the people that I would stand by shoulder to shoulder and, you know, call them my brother and my cousin.
Right,
These other people that try to derail are just absolutely insane.
You know, I understand a couple of days ago, there was a demonstration in Haifa. People, you know, Jewish people opposing Israel's policies and the military's policies and what's happening in Gaza. And there was a counter demonstration. And the police were there, but they were not very effective in keeping the two of them apart. And there were people, some really seriously hurt, people who were, you know, opposing what the military is doing in Gaza.
Yeah, they were attacked by the other people. See, that's right. What do you think about those three teens that were supposedly kidnapped by Hamas? Do you think that's a false flag for Israel to do what it's doing?
You know, this is the first time I heard somebody say that. You know, I was wondering at the time if this wasn't set up so that, because Netanyahu was, you know, was opposed to the unity between Hamas and
Abbas, the Palestinian Authority.
Right, Palestinian Authority. Thank you. And you know, and he, so it may be. I don't know. But the other thing is, you know, whether that be so or not, he knew almost immediately that these three teenagers had been not only kidnapped, but had been killed. And he demanded complete silence on the part of the Israeli police and security service, etc., because he wanted to milk that situation. And not even the families knew that their children had already been murdered.
Well, it's funny, but, you know, they were murdered right in the Israeli-occupied area. I mean, not the
right.
Israeli security forces control those areas. So this is where I think that they made sure that one of the teens was an American so they can get the United States to go along with it and the people here in the United States. But prior to that, they had killed three or four Palestinian teens prior to those teens being kidnapped. But
well,
is it okay?
I mean, I think on the average, there's probably a Palestinian teen or a Palestinian adult killed every one or two days. And not just recently, but this has been going on for years.
Yes.
But what does the media say about this? You know, well, that's not important. They can't, I mean, they can't even give these children or these adults a name. They're just, at best, they're a number. But when one Israeli is hurt or killed, then it's all over the place.
Right. Well, that's because they control the media here in the United States.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to go back on. Were you aware that I understand that there was people killed during the Holocaust, but were you aware that there was propaganda going on in the newspapers from 1915, about 6 million persecuted in Russia, 6 million persecuted in Ukraine, 6 million persecuted in Poland? It seemed like every couple of years they were going with the number 6 million being persecuted. And then, you know, the final one where 6 million were killed in Germany. Now, I have no doubt that
not in Germany, but by Germany.
By Germany.
Because some of it, a lot of that happened in Poland.
Right.
The Nazis set up the concentration camps in Poland.
Right, but I somewhat feel that the numbers were, in some sense, falsified.
I don't know, you know, but right. If one person lost their lives, it was one
exactly.
too many.
Exactly, it was, and I agree with
you. I mean, I know that my parents and other family members were murdered by the
Nazis. And our condolences to you. As were many Christians, as were
right.
many Jehovah's Witnesses, as were many homosexuals.
Right.
What gives the Jewish people the right to go take somebody else's land?
Nobody has a right to kill anybody. But when you talk about us and them, you know, then them is the other. Then they are less worthy than you are, and you can do whatever you think you can do. And Israel, I mean, is
right.
operating with impunity. And, you know, where's the world? You know, they're not saying anything. Congress just passed a resolution last week, and they vote in the Senate. They voted 100-0. You know, there are 100 members in the Senate, and all 100 voted in support of Israel.
Well, that's because they're all controlled by AIPAC and the bankers.
Yeah, they're afraid to, you know, because if they would have voted differently, they wouldn't get the money from AIPAC.
That's correct. Heidi, I'm sorry we couldn't get you on earlier. There's so much I wanted to ask you, but we have to cut out. I want to thank you for joining us. It's been an honor and a pleasure, ma'am. And many, many, many happy years of life to you.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate being on, and I appreciate your knowledge and understanding of the situation.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank our listeners. I didn't get to ask their questions, but we'll hopefully bring you back on again. I would like to thank everybody for listening in on the People Speak Radio with the BBS Radio Network and our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. Don't forget to join us next week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.